We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
This whole lawsuit isn't about contraception. It's about religious freedom.
They're trying to mash the same-sex marriage into the blood-stained tradition of the black community is horrible.
I give to God so that he'll give something to me. That's essentially idolatry. The exact opposite is the way it happens. Worship starts with God giving.
When we ask ourselves, do we need the Lord's Supper every week? You know, we need to have compassion on our brothers and say, you know, even if I don't want it every week, well, maybe my brother does.
I'm Daniel Berquist. I'm from Lincoln, Nebraska, and I'm a Macintosh software engineer. And I love Issues Etc.
Two rather weighty subjects to take up a little bit later on Issues Etc. this Friday afternoon. We'll be talking about media coverage of religious liberty. There's kind of a wink and a nod that takes place sometimes in the headlines or in the body of the story where you see those quotation marks around a phrase or a word, and you wonder, why are they there? They're not a direct quotation. That would be the most obvious reason for putting quotation marks around a word. There's also a use called scare quotes. You've used them, or sometimes you use them when you're in conversation. You make the little quotes in the air because you're trying to express an irony. You're trying to express that you don't really think that the word you're using means what it really is intended to mean. What do you do when you find them in a headline or in the body of a story around the term religious freedom or religious liberty? Molly Ziegler-Hemingway will be our guest in the second hour of the program to take up that subject, along with a very weighty subject, that is Planned Parenthood has been caught down in Texas encouraging and finding every way to perform sex-selective abortion. An undercover journalist went into Planned Parenthood in Texas. She asked for an abortion based upon the gender of her child. If the child was going to be a girl, she wanted to terminate the pregnancy, have an abortion. And they bent over backwards to help her. And it's on videotape. We'll hear a little bit of it, and then we'll get Wendy Wright and her thoughts on that, interim executive director of CFAM, Catholic Family and Human Rights Institute, in the second hour of the program. We'll play Soundbite of the Week in the last half hour. But until then, it's time for Issues Etc. comment line and our listener email, as usual on Friday. I'm Todd Wilkin. You can join us, by the way, for the next 2 hours. 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. You can send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at @IssuesETC. You can also, any time of day or night, call the Issues Etc. comment line. We'll be hearing a few comments. 618-223-8382. It's our way of letting you feedback when we're not here or feedback when we're not on the air. 618-223-8382. What's up first?
Patrina writes, I have a question about the promotional audio given by the Lutheran woman who mentions her Catholic husband with the children singing "The Church is One Foundation." The message makes me wonder, what is this woman promoting? It sounds to me like she's trying to persuade me to think that marriage between Lutherans and Catholics are wonderful. I believe her message could cause confusion. Could you please help me out with this? Why are you playing this audio? Truthfully, I have seen very, very few such marriages, if any, that are all so wonderful when it comes to upholding the true Lutheran Christian faith. Thank you for your radio programming. It is outstanding and has helped me in many ways with Christian love and friendship, writes Patrina. Thanks for listening, and thanks for the email, Patrina.
Well, Patrina, I don't think that the listener who submitted that audio, and that was something that was submitted over the Issues Etc. comment line in response to a call that Jeff put out. He puts it out occasionally for people of various vocations to call and do what the truck drivers have done and the Mac developers have done and the jet pilots have done. And the homeschooling mothers and the organists and the vicars in Indiana, I believe. And in this case, Lutheran married to a Catholic have done. And that is, if she's promoting anything, she's promoting Issues Etc. because Jeff asked our listeners, if you do something and you can find a way to say, this is what I do and I love Issues, etc., send it to us on the Issues, etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. And if we can fit it in, we'll try and get it into some of our opening montages. I think that's what she's trying to promote is the program. I have no reason to believe that they don't have a wonderfully blissful marriage. We have done a show, at least one, I think with Dr. Peter Scare recently. When I say recently, I mean within Wilkins' recent memory, which means within the last year or 3 years, but don't ask me when. Dr. Peter Scare, we talked to him about not interfaith marriages, but kind of interconfessional marriages, that is Christians marrying Christians of other faiths, not of other or confessions, not of other religions, but of other Christian confessions. And you can probably find that by Googling what would they Google, Jeff? I mean, besides Peter Scare, that would get an awful lot of shows.
That's a great question because we have a Google search engine at our website. You don't need to go to Google. You go to issuesetc.org.
There's a little field there. You can fill it in.
In the upper right-hand corner of Listen on Demand page. And I don't know. I've tried.
I'd start with marriage.
Well, I tried Peter Scare marriage, and I'm not coming up with anything.
We'll locate it somehow.
Before the end of the show, we'll find it
but
for you.
I don't think that our good listener there who submitted the audio was trying to promote anything. But I don't think we should – I think we should just realize that Lutherans do marry Catholics, and Catholics marry Lutherans, and Lutherans marry Baptists and Presbyterians and all sorts of arrangements. And that doesn't necessarily preclude them being happy marriages. Is there a challenge there? By all means. And I think good advice for your kids is to marry within your confession of faith. But it doesn't always happen that way, does it? So I don't think she's trying to promote anything other than issues, etc., and the fact that her family loves it.
One of the reasons I favor arranged marriages.
Yeah. And by that, you mean completely arranged, right?
Completely arranged. I think I've already got my kids hooked up with at least three or four different families, some of whom are kids of regular guests on the show, you know.
So
but they haven't met my children yet. So once they do, it all fall through. So
you got anything to add to that, Jeff?
Yeah, well, I'd like to add because we haven't done a while. Look, we love at the beginning of the show. You mentioned the truck drivers, the Mac engineers. You've got a vocation.
Mail carriers.
That guy's got a foghorn. We figured out something with Duluth, Minnesota. It has some special horn or something that the boats and or something. Didn't we figure that out?
Jet pilots.
But we give us your vocation. If possible, we prefer the ones that have a sound at the end, but it doesn't have to. You know, what I'm really looking for is a cab driver in Brooklyn. And then with the windows down, people beeping the horns, you know. Pull over, you idiot! You bum! That kind of thing, you know. Love right. Issues, etc. And they can honk their horn and yell, a bum back to them or something like that.
There was what was the other guy? There's a guy who is a salesman and he did something about driving across the Bay Bridge. And there was a guy who worked in a steel mill.
Yes, yeah.
Is that right?
Puts on his. You could hear whatever those things. What are they? The steel mill. What makes fire? And what are those things? Kilns?
Fire.
What are they?
We're rugged
Northeastern type, middle class blue collars in this place. We don't even know what the thing's called.
Yeah. I mean, this is actually something the listeners started. It isn't something we started. It's like so much of what happens here on Issues, et cetera. The best ideas come from our listeners. And was it a truck driver in Indiana that started all of this?
I don't even remember.
I'd have to go back and look, and then someone added white collar, blue collar,
clerical collar.
Yeah. And they come up with these great ideas that just end up in our regular.
Yeah, I think it might have been Bob Myers down in Florida started those truck driver ones, and just kind of grew, and we could use a few more.
We could always use more.
Speaking of the woman who gave us that last one about the Lutherans marrying Catholics and the Church as one foundation, her name's Emily, and she just sent us an email this week. She said, first of all, let me say thank you for using our Lutherans Married to Catholics Love Issues, etc. recording. The kids are thrilled. We were on vacation this weekend, and as is our custom, attended a Catholic church together. Usually I attend Lutheran services alone, and my husband takes the kids to church. Not only was the praise band terrible, this was at a Catholic church, I hope I never hear a harmonica in a worship service again. A little Springsteen going on there, huh? But actually, Dylan. But actually, that was the nicest part. The homily was worse. I don't expect to hear the gospel in the Catholic Church, but usually priests can be expected to deliver a degree of law, but this priest gave us neither. He didn't even give us any food for thought, which for most Catholics is enough. I was especially disappointed because it was Pentecost and I felt like I completely missed it. That's why I was so grateful to hear Pastor Joel Baisley's excellent sermon on demand today that you guys aired on Monday. What a rich delivery of law and gospel, of Christ's work for us, especially through the Holy Spirit. I haven't missed the celebration of Pentecost after all. Can I change my recording? Because I think Lutherans married to Catholics need issues, etc., concludes Emily.
Very good. Thank you very much, Emily, and thanks for the audio as well. It's pretty bad, you know, and it doesn't, Catholic, Lutheran, this is a problem across denominational lines. And to me, it's a special worry in my own confession, the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod. It's pretty bad when the harmonica is the best thing in the service. It's pretty bad when the harmonica has more gospel in it than the sermon or the songs or the praise band.
Heading to break here, Kathy writes, now that I understand how to use my Android app for issues, etc., my afternoons are filled with the Word of God. Keep up the great work put before you by our Lord and Savior. Thanks for the feedback, Kathy.
By the way, anybody can get either the Android app or the iPhone app at our website, issuesetc.org. Right there on the homepage, you'll see a link to one or both. They're both absolutely free. They're a way to take Issues, Etc. in the palm of your hand wherever you go. And they were also the product of listeners' ideas. They had the idea, not us. They did all the work, not us. They offered them free to our listeners, not us. That's why we often say smartest listeners in radio, and it's true. When we come back, more Issues, Etc., comment line, the more listener email. Eventually in this hour, I hope Jeff and I have blogs picked by the end of this hour. Otherwise, it's going to be a real quiet final 4 minutes of this hour. Issues, Etc., blog of the week. Craig, why don't you get busy finding a blog for Jeff. Okay, he's a busy man. We'll be right back.
Whether vacationing in Branson or boating on Table Rock Lake, Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church in Kimberling City, Missouri is your Christ-confessing congregation. Every week, Christ comes to us through the preached word and sacraments, by which we are strengthened and kept in the one true faith. So come to where Christ comes to you. Come to Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church, 103 Kimberling Boulevard in Kimberling City, Missouri. For more, see our website at sothl.com.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
What happens when you take solid doctrine and solid curriculum and combine them with ancient scholars and modern technology? You get Wittenberg Academy, the very first completely online classical Lutheran high school. We are unabashedly Lutheran and offer families a rigorous standard of academic excellence. Students can pick and choose classes, or they can utilize our entire curriculum for their high school education. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Sanctification happens when leaders and laity start assuming that our primary role is to be very nice, even at the expense of objective truth.
Jesus cleaning the temple of the money changers is sort of the great moment in Jesus' life rather than hanging on the cross for his bride.
You'll never be happy with the Holy Spirit that blah, blah, blahs words that you can't understand, because you want to hear words that you can plainly understand that convict you of your sin to draw you to your Savior, Jesus Christ.
We have this crazy idea in the Missouri Synod that when pastors get a call, all of a sudden the Holy Ghost is going to talk to them over the next couple weeks about what they're supposed to do or what God's telling them.
In the last half hour of Issues Etc. soundbite of the week, if you've never played before, it's really easy to play. There's no risk whatsoever and no cost to you. All you got to do is listen to the four soundbites either in advance at our website, issuesetc.org, or when we play them in the last half hour, and then you give us a call, you send us an email, you send us a tweet, or you voted at our Facebook fan page, and you get to pick Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. It's also a chance for you to win. One of our voters will win the LPR bundle package, and I have Issues t-shirt and Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, and bumper sticker. 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, and you may have recognized that little snippet of a sermon that was referenced in the last segment here by Pastor Joel Baisley that we reviewed on Monday this week. That's made it into Issues Etc. soundbite of the week contest, so you can listen for that one as well. It was like Dr. Phil in here just a few minutes ago. Jeff was out there giving Craig marriage advice.
And that's dangerous.
I won't repeat the story he told, but it's one of the only times I've ever agreed with something Jeff did when giving marriage advice.
That's, I think you're right. That's the first time we've had common ground on marriage.
I know. I said, there you were right to do that. In almost every other story that he tells about, it's not usually giving advice. You're usually kind of
telling stories.
You're kind of telling
anecdotes.
You're telling
ditties.
Stories of your own, what shall we say, your own husbandly mistakes, like most husbands do.
Frequently. I've been just... Craig should have to pay for the advice, premarital advice I have given him over the last several months, Craig.
Yeah,
what do you think is the best? What sticks out the most in your mind of all of the plethora of advice I've given you about marriage? What sticks out to you as being the best piece of advice?
This is going to be easy.
I really don't have an answer for that. I mean, you're putting me on the spot. What's the best piece? I mean, there have been some good things. There have been some bad things. Of course, I'm not married yet, so I can't really say 100%. I mean, it sounds logical. It feels right, you know. But
yeah, that's a real problem
yeah,
there.
Yeah. See, I'm not.
Don't
there.
Go with the.
I can't.
Don't
yeah,
go with
I
the logical.
Right. Well, my point is
logical
I can't.
Seldom works.
but you see what I'm saying. I'm not married yet. I can't say.
What's the piece of advice I constantly give you? Never say, I'm Justin Bieber. That's all you need to know for a happy marriage is Justin. What Justin Bieber says.
What's the advice?
Never say never.
Jeff, what's the advice Todd has given me that seems to work for him? Yes, ma'am.
You can take that one to the bank. There's nothing more to say. Justin Bieber. The wisest man on the face of the earth, living today. Never say never, Craig.
I've got some piece of advice. I say between now and September, when Craig is married, he grows hair like Justin Bieber. I'm thinking a dude like Bieber would look great on Craig. What do you think?
Actually, I think Justin's trimmed his hair recently, so he might
so
get a little
Craig.
Closer. They could meet halfway. Couldn't Craig and Justin meet halfway? At some mutually agreed upon.
Craig looks like Justin Bieber just a little, don't you think? A little Justin Bieber and Craig?
No, I never thought so.
I think
maybe in a certain light.
His fiance, Tori. I think she'd agree with me. Yeah. That she kind of looks like Justin Bieber. How did we get on Justin Bieber?
I brought him up.
This is a theological talk show. How did we do this? It was my fault, I'm sure. Mindless banter. Is it banter? Yeah, mindless banter.
Yeah.
That's what one of our listeners called it.
Inane banter.
Not there you
mindless.
Go. Yeah. Well, it is mindless.
There's
too.
A difference between mindless is one thing, but inane kind of has a. You have to try at inane. Not that we're really trying that hard. So, what's next?
Well, most of my marriage advice, Craig, is mindless and inane.
But logical.
There you go. Jeanette says, This has to do with Pastor Whedon's discussion yesterday on absolution in the divine service in the historic liturgy. She says, my church uses some of the historical liturgy, but not all of it. We have confession of sins, but not absolution. In its place, the pastor either says 1 John 1:9 or a prayer confessing faith in God's promise to forgive us in Christ. This does not bring me as much assurance as an absolution, but God does promise to use his word to create faith. Do these replacements for absolution fall under that promise? Are they gospel in the narrow sense?
Well, here's the thing. Let's just do what Christ authorized and commanded us to do and not try and outdo Jesus or underdo Jesus. Okay? So if Christ has commanded his apostles and his sent ones and those appointed in their train to forgive sins, which he most certainly has, not just to proclaim repentance and the forgiveness of sins in his name, but he has authorized them to forgive sins in his stead by his command. John chapter 20, there's no getting around it. There's a great conversation on that she referenced there. Must be yesterday's conversation with Pastor Will Whedon on absolution in our historic liturgy series. Let's just do what Christ has authorized and commanded us to do. Let's not try to improve upon what Jesus has given us to do. Now, it may well be that your pastor intends to do exactly that thing, but for whatever reason doesn't use the typical formula that has come down in the wisdom of the church. And the formulas have changed. In fact, Pastor Whedon made that quite clear in our conversation yesterday. So it never hurts as an absolution to quote a passage of Scripture that truly absolves. And as to praying that God would forgive us all our sins, we can't say there's anything wrong in and of itself with that either. Are either of those intended to be replacements for the words that Christ has authorized, his called and ordained to speak? No, but that doesn't mean you've gone without forgiveness. That doesn't mean that you've gone without an absolution. Have you been absolved? Yes, you've been absolved. Should the pastor be so bold as to actually do what Jesus has authorized him to do? Yes, he should. And you might just approach him that way and say, Pastor, you know, you don't have to settle for prayer. And while we love to hear the scriptural testimony here, that is absolutely indispensable. Could you add to it what Christ has authorized you to do? You don't have to be ashamed to speak the words, I forgive you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Don't have to be ashamed of that.
This email comes from Jeremy in Michigan. I would like to suggest an idea for either Todd or another Lutheran minister to consider, particularly one who especially enjoys writing and reading. A good number of people who have listened to Issues, etc. are not Lutheran, but are extremely curious about the Lutheran faith, and I happen to be among that number. I listened when Don Matzett was hosting the show. One of the things I have noticed are a number of ex-evangelicals, notably some in the Calvinist circle, who have converted to Lutheranism, such as Jordan Cooper, and I found this to be especially fascinating. I would love to see produced a published compilation of testimonies from Lutherans who have come from outside Lutheranism, particularly from the evangelical camps, explaining how and why they left Calvin or Wesley in favor of Luther. I would ask you to think about undertaking such a work as hearing from others why they came to Lutheranism could prove to be very instrumental in the conversion of others. Thanks for the email and the suggestion, Jeremy in Michigan.
Well, first of all, this is something we've actually been doing kind of piecemeal for years now. We've had, as a part of the Issues Etc. journal, the Wittenberg Trail feature, where we find we go looking for people who were not born to it. I was born to it, so to speak. I was born into a family of the Lutheran confession. I was baptized in the Lutheran church, the whole nine yards. And it's not that I can't understand what it is evangelicalism is all about. You don't have to touch a hot stove to know it's hot, to know that it'll hurt you. But those who have, may be able to speak with a certain insight. The most recent Wittenberg Trail feature actually comes from Pastor Will Wheaton. It's we're about to put it out for our listeners to subscribe to the journal. And now I've forgotten how they subscribe to the journal because we've been toying with the process. Jeff will explain. But the latest journal has the latest Wittenberg Trail feature written by Pastor Will Wheaton, talking about his journey from kind of nominal Methodism, very nominal Methodism, to, well, not only being a Lutheran, but being probably one of the more influential confessional Lutherans alive today. And it's they're always fascinating stories, and they all kind of follow the same trail. It's a Wittenberg Trail feature of our journal. How do they get it again, Jeff? I should know, but...
Just go to issuesetc.org. To the right there, there should be subscribed to the Issues Etc. journal
icon.
Yeah,
the big red button.
Todd, so Photoshop did a masterful job of creating on his very own.
Click the big red button. I should have remembered that. And then you enter your email address, and that subscribes you to the Issues Etc. journal. It comes out electronically in PDF form. And the next one probably this weekend, I would say. Not too distant future. Certainly before Monday, because we just finished proofreading it. All I got to do is put the final touches on it, and it'll be up this weekend.
You know, he was speaking of Jordan Cooper. I'm trying to look here. Yep, he wrote his Wittenberg Trail was titled Stepping Stones to Wittenberg. Jordan Cooper, that the listener mentioned, was in the spring 2011 edition of the Issues Etc. journal, the Wittenberg Trail feature, issuesetc.org. Go to publications page and look for spring 2011 edition.
We've got the back issues up there. And to get the latest one, issuesetc.org. Look on the right-hand side of the page, the big red button. Enter your email address and you're subscribed. We'll be right back.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
It's here. It's here. It's finally here. Lutheran Catechesis Catechist Edition, a comprehensive guide to catechesis for a Lutheran congregation, including expanded helps on the catechism, a section of catechesis on the table of duties, Christian vocation, and learn by heart schedules for the congregation at prayer. Order yours today from the Concordia Catechetical Academy at peacesussex.org.
Thank you, Todd, and thanks for everything you do.
Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on the value of Issues Etc.
You've done so much to teach so many people about the depth of the gospel and to find joy in the Christian life and experience.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans. Issues Etc. Listen to what you want, when you want, at issuesetc.org.
Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
A new pro-life effort is underway. It's called Until Abortion Ends. Individuals, largely young people, are giving up things they love until unborn babies are protected. Like fasting, they see a spiritual merit in personal sacrifice. One person vowed not to eat chocolate until abortion ends. Now that's a serious sacrifice. Another 16-year-old loves Mountain Dew, but will abstain from the soft drink. Others are forgoing junk food, computer games, and coffee. See what I mean? Serious stuff. How about you? Could you give up something you love as a constant reminder and motivator to help end abortion? If you'd like to learn more, visit today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org. You might want to take the pledge and add a very personal dimension to helping end abortion.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Going through listener email, a little bit of the comment line here in a minute. And then I'm having my doubts about Blog of the Week.
It might not happen. It might be a first.
You know what?
But 1 week, remember, I didn't pick one.
Yeah.
Because I was just disappointed in the Lutheran blogosphere, not just Lutheran blogosphere, people who have put their widget.
I don't think the blogosphere is dead, but I think its purpose has changed. And I'm not. I was the one who said, remember, years ago about blogging, what did I say?
Colossal waste of bandwidth, end
quote. That's what I said. Yeah, I said it. Then I took it back. And I'm not going to say that it's a colossal waste of bandwidth. I'm just going to say I don't see the traffic there in the blogosphere like I used to. Now, you go to political blogs or any of those places. Yes, it's practically taken over regular journalism. It's more immediate. It's more interactive. But in terms of just kind of Joe Blow blogging out there and having his say and people responding, not so much. And that's why it's sometimes difficult for us to find an Issues Etc. Blog of the Week.
You know, here's a way to find out how many people we actually have listening live. If you send your suggestion for Issues Etc. Blog of the Week, you've got about, 20 minutes?
20 minutes.
If you want Todd to read it, you send it to todd@issuesetc.org. If you want me to read it, send it to jeff@issuesetc.org.
Because just the link to the
blog.
We're
20 minutes away, and neither one of us has chosen an Issues Etc.
You might be able to save Blog of the Week.
Send it to jeff@issuesetc.org. jeff@issuesetc.org.
I might just make an executive decision and kill Blog of the Week. We've talked about it before, but we'll see.
Hey, you're talking about that interfaith marriage. How about almost 4 years ago? You said your memory goes from what, 1 to 3 years?
1 to 3 years.
It's not quite. It was August 26th of 2000. No, that's all right. August 26th, 2009. So it fits. You're almost 3 years.
Okay.
So you're right. You're right. August 26th, 2009, interfaith marriage with Dr. Peter Scare.
So you can find it at our website. Just how would they get that one? Just go back through the archive of the months, right?
You go under that issuesetc.org. Listen on demand page. Google is upright, but you don't want to use that. It's like find shows prior to October 2009. Click that. Go to August of 2009.
All right. August comes before October. That's what they say. Here's a comment from the Issues Etc. comment line on early communion.
Hi, this is Isaac in Olympia, Washington. I have a question about your comment line from May 25th. Someone posed a question about responding to people who use public absolution as justification for open communion. And some of the points you were making, I thought, touched on another subject, so I'm actually asking if it's relevant, and that would be infant communion or, you know, young communion. There was a Reformed church that had an article on if we have infant baptism, why not young communion? And I think some of the points you were making kind of touches on the fact that there's more going on in communion than forgiveness necessarily, in the fact that, you know, God comes to us as human, and as humans, we grow and mature, and communion has more to do with that incarnate interaction of God with us, as opposed to baptism. So any thoughts on if that question of public absolution and open communion, if that could have to do in answering some questions on just how communion is more of something that, you know, we grow into? I know most churches have a confirmation how they deal with that. Our church doesn't, but would this be a relevant topic? Thank you.
It's a complicated thing. It really is. I mean, just to begin with the relationship between confirmation and communion, they were not joined together, at least in the Reformation tradition, they were not joined together as one being the prerequisite for the other. I mean, and this is not uniform, but to the best of my knowledge, the Reformers, we're talking about the 16th century Reformers, including Luther, would have said, You catechize constantly from the cradle, and then as soon as a child knows their Ten Commandments, and you baptize obviously in infancy, you catechize constantly, and then as soon as a child is ready to receive the Lord's Supper, and for Luther that was Luther made it quite clear they need to know what it is and why they come.
It's that simple. What is the Lord's Supper and why do they need it? And when and he would base it upon the small catechism. He said, look, they got to know the Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer. And they need to know what the Lord's Supper is and why they come. Obviously, you're going to teach them about baptism, having been baptized into Christ. So that's part of the regular catechesis. So there we're almost all the way up to the six chief parts. I think Luther would have said, you get a child of any age who knows the six chief parts of the catechism. Ten Commandments, Creed, Lord's Prayer, baptism, and absolution. Commune them. Would you necessarily confirm them? That is, would you necessarily ask them to make an adult, because there were no teenagers in those days or adolescents in those days. That's a purely 20th century cultural phenomenon. Would you ask them to make an adult profession of faith at, say, 5 or 6? No, you wouldn't. But you would commune them. So confirmation was usually done later. In fact, I think probably coinciding with the late teens rather than the preteens. So it was not unusual for in the Lutheran church, it's not uniform, but not unusual for them to commune kids at 6 and 7 when they'd been taught the six chief parts. And that's actually kind of making a comeback. We have at the congregation where I serve, we have a very broad practice with regard to that. We encourage parents to bring their children for catechesis as early as humanly possible. And that's been done recently by one of our parishioners who brought the kids in. And we have little Abigail and Joshua that commune that are, I don't know exactly how old they are, but they're not teenagers. Not yet. They're not by a long shot teenagers. And they commune because they know what it is and they know why they come. And their age can be no barrier. Now, you asked about infant communion, which is a horse of a different color. There is a very ancient tradition, the eastern part of the Christian church, that practices infant communion, not communing infants all the time, but generally baptizing and communing together. I don't know whether they continue to commune infants on a weekly basis. I don't think they do. I'm not entirely clear on that. And we would say, do they know what it is and why they come? Now, we do not ask the question, do they have faith? Because that's a question clearly answered in Scripture, yes. Absolutely, yes. But do they know what it is and why they come? Can they, as Paul would say, can they discern the body, examine themselves, know what it is and why they come, in Luther's words? So that's something that kind of pops up occasionally when people are thinking through the Lord's Supper. And I don't think we want to discourage people from thinking about early communion. I think it's a very good thing. It's a long and storied practice in the Reformation. It's something for some reason we got away from in American Lutheranism. And I think we would do well to catechize constantly, baptize in infancy, catechize constantly, commune as early as possible, and then confirm when they're good and ready, because the confirmation is really the least important thing of all of that.
Here's an email we just received yesterday. Mike, he says, hello, Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Just a quick note, the great sacred music from Lutheran Public Radio and also Issues Etc., at least archive programs, are coming through, at least today, loud and clear here in the heart of China. Not everything always gets through the great firewall of China. Thanks for listening in China, and thanks for the feedback, Mike.
So Lutheran Public Radio and Issues Etc. is somehow making it through the sieve of the internet wall in China. That's very good to hear. Very good to hear from a listener in China. Nice to know you're out there. By the way, you don't have to live in China to get Lutheran Public Radio. Lutheran Public Radio is out there right now to be listened to. Sacred music for the world 24/7, not only for the Christmas season as we started or for the Easter season as we continued, but now for the season of Pentecost and year-round. LutheranPublicRadio.org. It's sacred music for the world 24/7, absolutely free. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
This is Matthew in Niles, Illinois. I'm listening to Dr. David Adams' study on Exodus from last year's Issues Etc. 24. I've been looking forward to your lock-in all year, and it's already a little bit beyond the time of year you normally do this fun drive. He calls it a fun drive. I thought it was a Bible study, yeah. But I guess.
Well, look, smartest listeners in radio.
Ah, they figured us out. Are you planning on doing an Issues Etc. 24 this year? I do hope you are. Thanks for the question, Matthew in Illinois.
We're planning, but planning is a relative term when it comes to Issues Etc. 24. That's a pretty massive undertaking. It requires, as if you haven't heard it before, it requires that we do Issues Etc. 24 straight hours live without interruption. That means the bringing together of 12 guests who are willing to do two-hour blocks all the way through those 24 hours. None of it is pre-recorded. I'm awake for the whole thing. Jeff is awake for the whole thing. Craig, not necessarily awake for the whole thing. And yes, we do use that as an opportunity to ask our listeners to support Issues, etc. We haven't set a date. We had been thinking about June, and then my June got so busy and pretty much impossible that we've had to say it's going to be sometime maybe in July. But every month we put it off, it gets a little harder to do it.
Well, you're open on June 29th and 30th, I believe. So that's one of the key to doing that is having people to do the midnight to 6 Central Time shift. So you have to get right. International guests. In the past, we had Dr. Weinrich when he was over in Russia, in Latvia. We had, we've had Dr. Kleinig from Australia and Dr. Lockwood in Australia. So we're working on Dr. Lockwood and Dr. Kleinig right now.
Yeah, if we can't get them, There's no sense in doing the 24 because I can tell you that it's hard enough to get pastors to come on in daylight hours, Lutheran pastors and professors in daylight hours. So we need the Aussies to help us out. We need somebody who's overseas to help us out. And once we lock them in, then we have to build the rest of the schedule around them.
It will be this summer.
Oh, yeah, it will be this summer. No doubt about it. But when? Well, you just have to wait and see. We will promote it well in advance. You'll know it's coming. And it is coming this summer. Issues, etc. 24. Craig's already stocking the energy drinks. He's already got 5-hour energy back there, a whole shelf of it for us. So it's coming. You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org. There's an app for that.
If any former evangelicals are hearing me speak right now, I want to assure you, you don't have to be a homeless Christian. If you would go to issuesetc.org, look on their website, you'll find a list of churches. Find one close to you and attend that church. There, you can receive the true gospel, you don't have to be a homeless Christian, and they will not call you a backslider.
To find a church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among his people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Going through listener email, the Issues Etc. comment line in hour two of Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon. Is it just the first? It's the 1st of June already. We're going to be talking with Molly Ziegler-Hemingway of GetReligion.org about media coverage of religious liberty and a story about, briefly, about a story, a girl who was not allowed to attend Mass, she's a Roman Catholic girl, during a Florida Girl State gathering. We'll see what Molly has to say about that and the media coverage of both of those stories. Wendy Wright will join us after that to react to Planned Parenthood's permission and encouragement in some cases of gender selection in abortion, and then Issues Etc. soundbite of the week.
Okay, I still don't have a blog. Do you?
No.
Okay, let's just keep going with email. What do you say?
Yes.
Okay.
Forge ahead.
Here's an email we just received from our good friend M-Pop, Michael Patrick O'Connor from Maryland. Now, it has to do with Issues Etc. 24. Excellent suggestion, but as I read this, note that M-Pop is a single lad. He says, do Issues Etc. 24 on July 4th, the freedom of the gospel for Independence Day.
Okay, and you say note that he's note that he's single. That is,
I don't think
he's
my
unmarried
wife,
with no
yeah,
children.
We usually have plans on, you know, family things on Independence Day. I just don't think that that's going to go
when
over.
When is the 4th of July? Let me look here. Where
Greg,
the 4th of
Greg's
July
Greg's not married. I don't think it's going to go over. He's got one eye Bob and one ear
oh.
Joe and
lots
all his friends.
And the brats and the, yeah. You know, the pork steaks. The pork steaks alone would, yeah, the 4th of July falls right in the middle of the week on a Wednesday. So
it's not bad. It's really a good idea, but.
It's a good idea. I can tell you
but
right
we're
now.
Married.
I can tell you right now, Michael, my wife is going to say no. Okay. So I know in advance.
Remember, Craig said, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Hey.
And when she says no, I say yes.
Now, do you recall earlier in the week we played a comment from a listener who's very upset about you being allegedly envious of Craig's vacation?
Jealous
and
vacation. Envious, yes, at the
yes.
same time.
My goodness, we've got some ladies that are female apologists for the right Reverend Wilkin. Here's what Elizabeth had to say. Had to leave a message regarding the lady who felt Todd was expressing jealousy about vacations. I understand this was her first time listening. I hope she listens a few more times so that she is able to pick up on the wry, subtle humor of the host's banter.
I like the wry.
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 W-R-Y.
I'm going to have to look that one up. Go
W-R-Y.
Ahead.
W-R-Y. I knew you were going to look it up. That's why I said W-R-Y. By the way, both my hubby and I are like you, Todd. We hate to travel beyond the day trip. So, fellow homebody, greetings from Sterling, Illinois, from the both of us, grace and peace, John and Elizabeth. But, oh, there's more.
Oh, there is.
You are quite...
Do I have able defenders? Good.
In the female gender.
All right.
Yeah. I think that's... Do you need to say female gender? It is a gender. It's...
There's only two, Jeff.
Yes. So, once you say female, there's no need to say gender.
No, there isn't.
But, you know, this is a new age. You never know. We might be coming to the point.
That's true.
That's, you know, we might have to say male gender, female gender, and who knows what else is coming down the pike. Jill in Danville, California, just listening and heard the woman comment on the Friday discussion between the issue staff about their vacations. I listened daily and heard the discussion live. Pastor Wilkin, it was very funny, as is often the case. I think the lady who left the message was either being overly sensitive or should listen for a while longer before judging. Keep up the great work for all you do, writes Jill in Danville, California.
Oh, thank you, ladies. I appreciate it. It's my attempt at humor. All I ever do is attempt it. I don't know if I ever achieve it. So I looked up wry. I thought I knew what it meant. But, you know, you use words like this, you're not really sure what they mean. I think it's apropos. Another word that I use there, not knowing exactly what it means, but it seems to fit. Using or expressing dry, especially mocking humor, that I think that fits the situation, doesn't it? I was mocking both of you, which I often do. Two, of a person's face or features twisted into expression of disgust, disappointment, or annoyance. Interesting. So, yes, I think wry humor. Now, wry, yes, humor, maybe.
This is Herman calling May 26th, commenting on the interview with Joe Dallas on the evangelical preachers jumping on the homosexual bandwagon like Tony Campolo and others. I would say what that reveals are the inherent problems and fallacies embedded in what's called the left wing of the Protestant Reformation, which involves pietism, Arminian Pelagianism, and the assumption of also of dispensationalism applied in American context from Charles Finney's New Measures. The idea of the Word of God has to have human devices to carry it. In the modern situation, that device is, for example, contemporary Christian music and praise bands have to carry the passions that the Word of God cannot and the Holy Spirit cannot evoke in people. Therefore, human devices are necessary. The updated version of the Charles Finney Anxiety Bench that these contemporary type of evangelical ministers would no doubt be in favor of is the anxiety bench, where once one is finished with the process, one is either effectively practicing homosexual or a fully certified enabler of those who do. So you have people caught up in these fallacies and deficiencies all along the way, from the left wing of the Protestant Reformation through the Second Great Awakening and Charles Finney, and now it's come about this way, and it betrays that there is a lack of faith in the full revealed truth of the Word of God in Jesus Christ, working by the Holy Spirit alone. Well, thank you very much.
Again, smartest listeners in radio, thank you very much for that comment. I think you're right. I mean, it adds substantially to what Joe Dallas had to say when we interviewed him. By the way, you can hear a bit of what he had to say about the nicification of Christianity. When we play Issues Etc., soundbite of the week in the last half hour of the program, we chose Joe and a bit of what he had to say as one of the contenders for soundbite of the week. It wasn't me, but I seem to remember it was – I'm going to credit – just using the dartboard of my mind, I think I'm going to credit Pastor Herb Miller, who is currently serving as the first vice president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, for installing in my mind permanently the insight that, you know, it doesn't really matter what error in Christendom you're talking about. If taken to its logical conclusion, the error can flow down the street on one side or on the other, but it all ends up in the same place. It's like the sewer. It may flow this way. It may flow that. It may flow from this guy's house or that guy's house. It all ends up in the same place. So it shouldn't surprise us that whether it's emergence or mainline liberalism or even now big box Christianity, we're watching it slowly but surely, some slower than others, end up in the same errors, in the same kind of wholesale rejection of God's word, not only what it teaches with regard to human sexuality, but eventually, as we've seen in mainline liberalism, everything it teaches.
Time for producer confession here.
Mm-hmm.
Eric sent an email yesterday before the pastor's roundtable on John 3, verses 1 through 17. I forgot to forward it to you. So instead of having our very eloquent guest, Pastor Charlie Hendrickson, and Pastor Nathan Dudley answer the email, we'll give it to you. Sorry,
wow.
Eric.
Okay.
You got the second team here. Just teasing. All right, Eric says, John 3,
reliever.
Verse 17. Reliever. Yeah, you know, you're closer. You're the Jason Mott of LPR.
Yeah, I wish.
He's not doing so well this year, is he, Craig? No. Last year. Who, the Jason Mott.
Who in the
of
bullpen
last
is
year.
Doing well? Yeah, the Jason Mott of last year.
Eric.
His beard is longer, though.
It is. Is it maybe Orthodox, Eastern Orthodox or something? Mm-hmm. You know?
Could be. I doubt it, yes, but it could be.
Maybe he's just a fan of Grizzly Adams. I don't know. John, where did that come from? Grizzly Adams. I think it's because Beth has been on the DVR taping Brady Bunch and Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman for the girls, and they've been watching it since school's been out. And so all these old TV shows are coming to mind, like Grizzly Adams. I never watched Grizzly Adams, so I don't know, really. I watch Hogan's Heroes.
I never watched Grizzly Adams either. It was that was probably during my Star Trek days, I'll admit. So there you go. That was probably.
Have you ever considered shaving your head, putting in a monocle? We could call you Clink.
Oh yeah,
Colonel Clink.
I could pull that off, though. I think
we'll just
call
him the Colonel.
I've often thought I could pull off a monocle. The problem is my eyesight is so bad I couldn't just do a monocle. But I've often wondered.
You could bring the monocle back.
I could.
You could. I mean, who wears a monocle anymore? You could, Wilkin.
Cool people.
You know, Harrison's brought the mustache back. The president of Lutheran Church Missouri Synod,
that's
Matt
true.
Harrison. You could be the monocle. I better get this. We only got 2 minutes. Craig just sent you the thing. Eric, John 3, verse 17. It talks a lot about Jesus dying for the whole world. I have heard Calvinists talk about the world referring to the local area of Jerusalem, their world. When I looked up the word, it referenced cosmos. Is this just a blatant misuse of the word world by Calvinists? Thanks for the email, Eric.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, they're trying to get around. It's the theological corner that Calvinists paint themselves into when they limit the atonement of Christ to some and not all. And so they can't take the words like, you know, God so loved the world. They can't take those in their plain and simple sense. They have to modify them or explain them away, saying, well, world in the sense of what a person in the first century might have thought of as their world. But of course, that's not right either, because Jesus says it is from Judea through Samaria to the ends of the earth. And if Jesus says that he has come as an expression and as the act of God's love for the world, and he uses that word, which doesn't just mean world, it means everything and everyone there is, cosmos. Let's just take him at his word. And nowhere does he say he came to die only for a few. Nowhere. It is always, in one case, many, but in most cases, the world and all. Besides, if you take the Calvinist route and you limit his atonement, you will never, ever, sadly and tragically, never, ever be certain, in spite of what you tell yourself, but in your heart of hearts, you will never be certain whether or not you're among the few for whom he died or among the many for whom he didn't. And that is the sad tragedy of the Calvinist misreading of Scripture. So if you've painted yourself into that corner, just put down the brush and listen to what Jesus says. And the comfort abounds for those who know that if Christ died for all, then he most certainly died for you. We'll be right back.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you.